Hi, the Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com.
The views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Body and Spirit Radio Show tonight. Namaste. How you doing?
Namaste.
Peace. Hotep, all of that. Habarigani. Bonjour. Hola. Namaste, everybody. Everybody. What's up, family? It is Wednesday, January the 24th, 2018. And we are moving into Mardi Gras here in Galveston Island. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. This will be my first Mardi Gras here. Yay, Mardi Gras. Let me open up with a quote.
Open with the quote. Yes.
As we conclude with our greetings to Scotty and Brother Otis and all of our listening audience tonight, is, you know, I always have to send a shout out to Brother Otis. Shout out to Brother Otis.
Yes. Namaste. Namaste, loyal listener.
Yes. Okay. Quote. Here is a quote. People get used to anything. The less you think about your oppression, the more your tolerance grows for it. After a while, people just think oppression is the normal state of things. But to become free, you have to be acutely aware of being a slave.
Hear, hear. Namaste.
Queen Mother. Queen Mother Asata Shakur. Queen Mother.
I love it. Say that again. I want to hear that again.
Sure. I was trying to say it in my Asata Shakur voice.
I noticed the difference.
You know, we have to be so dramatic. Maybe if I have a sip of my red wine, 1 second. Okay. Asata Shakur. People get used to anything. The less you think about your oppression, the more your tolerance for it grows. After a while, people just think oppression is the normal state of things. But to become free, you have to be acutely aware of being a slave. Asada Shakur, Queen Mother Asada Shakur. Yeah.
Profound. Profound. Have to be aware.
Yes, I love it.
So you just think, it's just,
you have to be aware.
Regular.
Yes.
Yeah, what's the fussing about?
The oppression becomes normative. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's like if you are born into an oppressive state, you think it's normal until someone exposes alternative. And that's one reason why they wanted to separate free blacks and enslaved people, captured people.
Exactly.
Once you open a book, or once you expand your mind, or you're exposed to something different and new that could be better for you, you want it. You have a taste for it, a desire for it.
So I love that. Spirit is saying, "Oh, this is what I'm supposed to have. This is what I'm supposed to be.
This is what I could have. This is what I could attain. This is where my life could be, where I could strive to be." Just in speaking of that, it just reminds me of how I say maybe 15 years ago, like the younger people, they were so accustomed to living in this oppressive state. It was so normal to them. It was just normal to be discriminated against. And they were like, I remember hearing, "Oh, no, that's old school talk. That's old school talk. There's no racism today, and that's old school. You still talking about slavery. Y'all still talking about that black stuff." I don't hear too many people saying that anymore. Y'all still talking about that black stuff. Sit down. You want to talk about that black stuff? That's what they used to tell me.
I heard that so much. Oh, my God.
Y'all sit down.
Like that was a sin.
Yes, talk about that black stuff.
Oh, my God.
Like, there
she go. Oh.
Yeah, there she go. There she go. You know, they act like you all crazy. That's why I don't nobody want to be around you. You know, I had one friend tell me that. That's why I don't nobody want to be around you. Oh, because I'm always talking that black stuff, liberation and shit. Oh, okay. No, but anyway. But you know, but what had to happen, and it's unfortunate that it had to happen. We had to see a repetition of these snuff films getting killed on camera and all this crap.
Right.
Nonsense. Yeah. It's just evil, wickedness. That had to happen to shake people out of that slumber.
Mm-hmm.
And my condolences go out to all of those families, from Ezell Wright to Trayvon Martin and all of these babies and adults. The lady that was shot and killed up there, I think in Wisconsin. My condolences go out to all, but it had to happen to take us to this point where people start waking up and rise up. I told the brothers, they need to let us borrow that song. Rise up, rise up.
I love it.
I love that beat. I love it.
So inspirational.
Oh, yes. I love it, baby. I was driving down the street today, and then I'll get to the inspirational quote. I was driving down the street, and I said, "You know what I feel like hearing? Fight the power." I put some Public Enemy on. I was like, "Yeah, fight the power, ZB." And then people were looking at me like, "Ooh, she's really into that song." She's really into that song. I'm like, "Yeah, fight the power, ZB. Elvis was a hero to most. He never missed shit to me." Oh, honey, I was going. But anyway, so let me read this inspirational quote. Okay, this is a quote from Rumi. "The moment you accept what troubles you've been given, the door will open." The moment you accept the troubles you've been given, the door will open. So accept this, so you can go ahead on and walk through and accomplish all of that and surpass that and move on. That's what I gleaned from that one.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Any thoughts on that before you move on to yours? Before we move on to yours,
I'm still marinating that. Okay. Except,
I had to kind of marinate that too. I had to marinate on that one. Just kind of digest that a little bit.
It's right. It's not something you just kind of like rush right over. It's a lot of things that a person they'd be holding on to that's keeping them from moving forward or being where they want to be. And sometimes it's because it's like, but I'm not finished with this. You know, there's something else that needs to be, what was that quote I had? Plowed. A field that needs to be plowed. And then there comes a time when you kind of say, okay, I'm done with that. I'm ready to move on. I'm ready to move forward. And that's good. That's good to there's a quote that says, that's not my quote, but there's a quote that says, get out of the way of your happiness. Get out of the way of your happiness.
Yes, get out of the way of your happiness. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get in the way of my happiness.
Yeah.
I do experience that. You say that. I experience that. All right, then. So you have a quote also.
Yes. I lost myself trying to please everyone else. Mm-mm. Now I'm losing everyone while I'm finding myself. That is so me right now. I mean, I've slammed a couple of doors, I should say. It's like, okay, alrighty, moving on, because this is me. This is me. Oh, I have a new theme. Last year, my theme was I'm coming out. So, step through the door. So, my new theme, and I don't have a song, but it's just my new theme. This is me. This is me.
This is you. Well, hello. And namaste to the new year.
Yes, namaste.
Namaste. Namaste. So tonight we are here to, once again, raise our frequencies, lift our vibrations, speak our truths, and heal our hearts. We are going to talk about love bombing, gaslighting, and this Monique versus Netflix controversy. People have been controversy. I'm going to say it like the English people. Controversy. Anyway, so Monique and her whole Netflix debacle. And also, I hope we can get to silent weapons. Gosh, this video that I came across just the other night. So, and more on the table, of course. And you can call in and share your thoughts on any of those topics or anything that's on your mind tonight as well. And we just might entertain that. And for our African Spirit segment, we are honoring Dr. Bobby E. Wright. Yes. Dr. Bobby E. Wright.
All right.
Yes. So you can follow us. Wife Lisa. You can follow us on the Twitters at MB Spirit Radio. So at MB Spirit, SPIRIT Radio. Okay. And you can also follow us by joining the MBS Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show group on the BTRs. So don't forget, while we're on break or now while you are listening to us, sign up for your membership for the BTR, the Social Media Experience. Otis said, Donna Ross did. I'm coming out. Yes, she did. I'm coming out. I'm coming out. Got to look at you. I'm coming on, Sister Diana. Now, my favorite Diana Ross song. I like quite a bit. You know what? We should honor her. We should honor Miss Diana one night as a lyrical angel that we have still here with us. Give her flowers. Because, baby, she is in a duet of one of my favorite songs of all times. And that's Marvin Gaye and Diana Ross's version of
My Mistake. I absolutely love that song. When I hear that song, oh, I just jump up and get that little crook. You know how old people jump up off the sofa and they get that little crook and go to the left with that, you know, little crook and snap their finger, and then they go back to the right, you know. Yeah, I do that when I hear that song. Woo. So anyway, let's see. Do you have anything else for the light before we go on to Hot Topics? Memories. Yes, Otis, memories. Mm-hmm. Memories. What's the way to love you, girl? I know that's right. Love you, girl. Listen, don't get me singing that. Oh, because I can't sing, but I'll sing that one. So any other, anything else before we go into our Hot Topics? Any announcements?
No.
Okay. Did you see any images or video from the Women's March? All of the women's marches that took place around the country. The day after Trump was elected president, I believe it was the day after, or was it the day after the inauguration? I think it was the day after the inauguration, right? The women's marches all around the nation and all around some other, I think maybe Canada or something, some other places outside of the U.S. So there were a group of ladies that had the pink pussy hats, what they call the pink pussy hats, and the pink pussy hats were these pink pussy hats they were wearing because of all the sexual harassment that was going on with Trump, talking about he grabbed women by the pee and calling them despicable or some name. But anyway, so these women, they started wearing these little pink pussy hats. So there was, I think this was in Baltimore, Maryland. I'm so sorry that I don't have the exact city. But these women put a pink pussy hat on Harriet Tubman's statue. And you know, the thing about it is, even if you were so-called doing that in good intentions, you just don't even understand how disrespectful it is, because once again, our experience and our trouble, and I'm talking about black women in particular, is completely different. It is. It's completely, we walk in spaces. Just like we walk in a similar space, black men, but we still walk in a different space as black women, just like black men walk in a different space from us. And it's not taking anything away from either group. But I said, oh my goodness, whose bright idea was that? Women's marches all around. Even though a majority of them, 60-something% voted for Trump, you know, but all of this, you know, we marching together. No. You guys need to get it together.
No, we're not on the same plane.
We're not going to be fooled again by that, you know, women's this and that. No, I'm not going up against my man. I'm not going up against the brothers. We're sticking together. Whoa. We always have. And we're not going to let anybody drive a wedge between us any longer. Or don't even try it, because our experience is different. Yes, as women, and especially those women that really do, in a sense, empathize with what we have experienced, even though they can never really know what we experience.
Nope.
Yeah, we appreciate all of that. We do. We appreciate all of that.
We really do.
But sometimes it's time for us to just say, hey, let's just pull together and let's get our home in order. And I think that's what we
exactly.
Because if these women can get together and march against Trump, who you voted for, and people allowed to be in office, then how come we can't get this many women all around the country coming together saying, stop shooting and killing these little children, adults, pregnant women, old men, just stop it. So those are my thoughts about the march. Power to you for your marches and all of that. But while people are marching about Trump and all of this stuff, sexual harassment, let's consider what we as black women have experienced. All of this trauma. So I wanted to also...
Go ahead.
I was moving on to another topic, but if you want to speak on women, we welcome that. Or whatever you were about to speak on.
Yeah, I lost my train of thought.
Okay, it'll come back. So did you hear about this little nasty, filthy, despicable Olympic gymnast, Larry Nassar, sexual predator, posing as impersonating a doctor? He was sentenced to 40 to 175 years in prison today. He apologized to his victims and blah, 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 blah. I'm sure people getting their shanks ready now. Whatever jail he going to. So, getting little toothbrushes and razor blades or whatever they use. I don't think they allow razor blades. But anyway, whatever. They make one. They make one. This MSU, the Michigan State University president, she's supposed to be stepping down. I did see that news flash a few minutes ago. But this man, he was supposed to be a USA gymnastics team doctor, okay, molesting these little girls. And people may remember Allie Reisman. She was on the U.S. Olympics team with Gabby.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So she gave her statement. And she spoke about how she has her power back now and how he took the power away from her. I think there was another young lady that said that he would touch her and then he would close his eyes. And he would say, "I'm closing my eyes because I'm so tired." He was molesting these children. Some of these girls were like kindergartners. So kindergarten is like, what, 5 or 6?
Yeah, 5.
So you're sitting up here feeling around, fondling, molesting babies. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I hope they get no shanks together in jail. I don't promote violence, but, whew, Lord have mercy. That was horrible. Horrible, horrible. And he's
been all those children.
Years.
Doing that a long time.
Yes, yes, yes. And that judge, baby, she gave it to him. She darned it, read him the riot act, along with all the young girls' testimony. So that was really powerful for them to be able to speak out about that, I'm sure. And just think, you think that this is normal. And the mothers and the fathers, the parents, family members, they're trusting this doctor. And right. They're filling up the little babies.
That's what's so horrible about it, because the trust is betrayed. These children, they look to someone like that and they feel that they can trust them, and then when that happens, they really don't know what to do. They really and truly do not know what to do, because everybody around them admires this person and they're just a little one. Who's gonna take them serious? No?
Mm-hmm.
That's because, a heavy burden to carry.
Right. One could easily assume that the child is not really sure what happened. Is mistaken on something. Oh my
Are you
goodness!
Sure this was... happened, or did you dream it? You know, mm-hmm. don't let it be a child that's creative, imaginative, or maybe have a little play friend, or they just they're not going to believe that. They're not going to. That's what the child thinks, and that's locking up the throat chakra.
Blocking the throat chakra. Yes, indeed. I'll pick back up on this other topic. Would you like to go ahead on and start with your love bombing?
Love bombing. Okay. First, I would like to share another quote. And I want to preface that by saying, back when I went to school, we were taught, well, first of all, English. They only teach spelling, I hear, in some schools.
I've heard that.
A sentence consists of a subject, a verb, and an object. You are crazy. Object, verb, you are beautiful. You are crazy and you are beautiful.
Oh goodness.
You are both of these. Okay, so you got the preposition and the object. So my point is, there is one word that can make an entire sentence, and others, no. You do not need a verb or subject or an object or a person. No is a complete sentence, and it does not require an explanation or justification. And I wanted to stress this to those out there who find it difficult to say no, as I have for so many years. The right to know. Because of being molested as a child, being my mom in a place of what I thought was safety, and being with and just my arriving to the safe arms with my mother, I was kidnapped, and the thought of being raped again was just horrifying. And so as I grew older, it became difficult for me to say no when it came to sex, because I was wondering, does it have to do with what happened to me? I mean, am I being too sensitive? I mean, should I say yes when I really don't want to? Or you know, do I have to justify? Because God could always say, why? We're both adults. And I'd always feel guilty for saying no. And I had the most difficult time saying no. And I just wanted everyone to know, even women, if you're married, you have the right to say no. That is your body. You do not have to justify it. You do not have to give a lengthy explanation, as I felt I had to do. And it is important that we all know this. You said your vows, you did not say, and I give up my body to whenever my spouse wants it, no matter how I feel and no matter what's going on. You did not say that in the vows. It is your right. So, no is a simple now, we want to talk about relationships.
Relationships
are very important, because we have relationships with everybody that we come in contact with. Whether it's someone you work with, your friend, or your friend's friend, your daughter, your son, your husband, your wife. They're still relationships. So there are certain tactics that people use in relationships that we wanted to talk about tonight, because some of these tactics can be dangerous. They can be dangerous to your emotional health as well as to your physical health. So the first one we wanted to talk about, let me back forth a little bit. All of that stuff happened before I even reached 16, so imagine how it affects a child when they become an adult. Okay. So love bombing. Love bombing is used mostly by narcissists, okay, to reel their targets in quickly into this unconditional love and commitment. So the victim or the target is showered or bombarded with gifts and trinkets and small, seemingly sincere acts of devotion and kindness. And they show kindness to other people, you know, like helping an old lady sit down. You're like, oh, that's so sweet. Making sure you know that they go to church and put a little money in the church. And, you know, oh, yeah, I go to church. If you're a church goer, then they are church goers. They sort of synchronize themselves, their behavior with yours. Oh, I feel that same way. People say I'm weird, but wow, it's just, you know, you feel like this. And you're like, wow, we're so in sync. And they have your same interests. And, oh, you like to go to, listen to the seminars and the black, oh, yeah, man, I went to one last week. I know I went out with you. Really? Oh, wow, we're gonna really hit it off. And the next thing you know, you are wrapped up into them. They are telling you, you are the one. They can't believe that they have been blessed to meet someone like you. You're
can't live another day without being with you.
Yes. They call you all day long. Oh, I was just thinking about you. I just talked to you. I was like, oh, but it's been so long, you know. And I can't wait till we see each other tomorrow. So, you know, I just love spending time with you. So you're swept off your feet, basically. Everything is blissful. The narcissist has to act fast, because they can only keep up this act for a short period of time. He or she, it can be a she, does everything you want them to do happily. This is love bombing. Love bombing works like a magnet. It draws the target in so fast that he or she is thrown off their balance and becomes vulnerable to this sudden burst of love and affection. And they're mesmerized. And so once the target has made a commitment of some sort, maybe you've let them move in, or you maybe said you want to marry them. Once they feel that they have you wrapped up, then they change. Everything becomes different. The perpetrator drops the act, and then that's when gaslighting starts.
That kind of reminds me of the letter from last week when the person mentioned how this person was just so adorable and everything was beautiful. The skies were blue, the butterflies were flying by. Chirping. Right. And then all of a sudden, he's this Dr. Jekyll, this crazy person that has appeared.
Yeah.
Papa, who this man in my house? So it's like, shoot, baby. And let me see, there was something else that you mentioned in here. Let me see. Let me think, because I was trying to take a couple of notes here. In terms of their behavior, their initial behavior.
Yeah.
I met someone like this, and they're baby, you don't have to drive. I'll pick you up from work, and let me open the door, and everything's just, oh my gosh, oh, thank you so much. You're just taking so much pressure off of my life right now. And then they start putting all that pressure right back on you once, after 3 months, you know, like that lady said, 3 months, I'm paying you 3 months, and that's it, because after 3 months, you're going to start tripping and acting up anyway, so I might as well get rid of it.
That's about as long as it lasts, so about 90 days.
About 90 days. Mm-hmm. About 90 days, I generally will come out. The real them will come out. And sometimes the real them will come out when they stop taking their medication, too. I've heard quite a few stories. Not quite a few. I've heard a few stories from people who were involved with someone. And, I mean, they were fine for, like, maybe a year or two. I've even heard 3 years. And all of a sudden, this person stopped taking their medicine and just flips out at the dinner table. It just goes downhill from there. Mm-hmm. So gaslighting is a term derived from a 1940s film by the same name, in which a man convinces a woman to marry him to steal a fortune so she doesn't know a fortune she doesn't know that she has. He then goes about doing things to drive her insane, like removing pictures from the wall, then asking her why does she move so and so picture and all of that, giving her expensive gifts, then hiding them and pretending dismay that, oh, you lost those, and dimming the gaslighting and pretending that he doesn't notice a difference, like it's all in her head. So these people begin to think that you're going crazy. The woman eventually begins to question her sanity. Gaslighting is manipulating the world around the victim. We have all done it in some form, but when it is done repeatedly to gain control over someone, say like for an extended period, then gaslighting can be extremely dangerous. It can lead to very low self-esteem, self-doubt, depression, and to a cycle of codependent relationships. So it's a form of manipulation that has the victim questioning their memory, their perception, and their own sanity. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Full disclosure, honey, I have experienced this one as well. Maybe I'll share my story. But some signs of gaslighting are persistent denial, misdirection, like if you're driving and they say, I told you to take the I-10 exit, not the I-45. You don't listen well. Everything they tell you is like, I told you this. And you saying to yourself, no, you didn't. You said so-and-so.
Right. No, you didn't.
You didn't say that. So, contradiction, lying, and destabilizing you. And sometimes they just give you the wrong directions on purpose, or tell you something and then come back and say, no, I didn't say that. Just to try to discombobulate you.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they will throw you off balance. Yeah, it's all intentions, with the intentions of just completely throwing you off balance.
Right. And making
we've spoken
you
about
doubt
what
yourself.
Happened. And making you doubt yourself. You're completely thrown off. You have no self belief. No, it's like your essence is being drained from you. If you find yourself making excuses to your friends and family about your relationship or your partner's behavior, wondering if you're good enough, anyone can gaslight. Your manager, your girlfriend, a family member, wife, mother. If you feel hopeless, feel joyless, like something is sucking the joy out of you, your life. You used to be a certain way, but now you're different and you don't know why. Constantly second-guessing yourself at work, your boss could be gaslighting you. Mm-hmm. If you're constantly told you're too sensitive, you take things the wrong way, you're always apologizing, you don't trust what you think happened, or maybe it wasn't as bad as you thought, not trusting your own instincts. Your partner is always making you wrong. You have trouble making decisions because you begin to not even trust your own judgment. You may be a victim of gaslighting because it can cause one to lose a sense of self.
A sense of self. Begin to evaporate. You. Gaslighting is so sly, and I know many people out there listening right now are thinking, like, birthday. Mm-hmm. You're lying in bed, 2 o'clock in the morning, the phone rings. And your husband reaches over and grabs it right quick. And he says, okay. You say, who was that? He says, this is the secretary at work. At 2 o'clock in the morning? Yeah, I told you we're working on a special project. We got to have it ready by 7 o'clock in the morning. She has some problems. And she needed some damn things. My goodness! Well, you answered all these damn questions. I'm trying to do the best I can to have a nice house for us to work hard. And you're going to give me all this stuff by the phone call? Then he grabs his pillow and goes downstairs. And you're like, what just happened? You're being gaslighted. Mm-hmm. This is girlfriend. But you wake up the next morning fixing breakfast and eggs and sausage and you apologize. I'm sorry, honey, I upset you last night. All right. And you let it go. And you're like, I made too much of it. That's gaslighting.
Gaslighting.
Okay, basically, your perception becomes their perception. Whatever you think, they convince you that that's not what really happened, that is not what's really happening. You're a little off, and you need to be quiet and listen to what I say, because I am always quiet. Okay, so, fire and truth.
Okay.
Fire and truth. Now, once the victim, this is sort of like a stage. Once a victim begins to question the relationship, convince their partner they may be wrong. Now, honey, I know that you said this, but I've been thinking. You kind of like, wait a minute now, I'm crazy. And so you confront them with what you know are facts, things that you cannot see, cannot deny. They're facts.
Receipts.
Yes. This says the such and such for hotel. We haven't been there. And you didn't tell me you were going there. So, what is this? You going through my wallet again? Okay. That's your problem. That's why the other guy left you.
Then you got to defend.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. So,
and you know what? Wait a minute. Let me just say something right there, what you just said about if a person responds to you. That's why the other guy left you. Or that's why so-and-so. People, especially women, because we have a tendency to run our mouths, especially when we first meet somebody. Stop it. I learned this. You don't go telling him all your business, who you've been with, and who did you wrong, and Joe did this, and Joe did that, and me and Joe was together 5 years, and Joe, he cheated on me, and blah, blah, blah. If you tell him anything, you tell him that every person you've been with, they treated you like a queen, and blah, 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 whatever, he had to move out of the country, or it was you know, blah, blah, blah. He treated you well. Because a man is going to treat you how he know you let these. If he knows that you let other men dust dog you out, what you think he going to do? Oh, he going to treat you right? You're accustomed to being dust dog, so why should he treat you right?
Right. You've been with him 5 years. You just said 5 years? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, because you know what? Because when he does try to treat you right, you're probably end up treating him wrong because you've been so accustomed to being dust dogged and mistreated in relationships. So anyway, I said all of that to say, women, don't tell men all your business like that, especially when you first meet them. You don't have to tell him how Joe did you wrong because he will use that against you. And nothing against brothers, but brothers, so you know some of you that are listening, you know you've done that before perhaps. And it may be some women, too. Now, you know, maybe I shouldn't just say brothers. But I'm speaking from a woman's perspective. I had to learn that. Don't tell them all your business like that.
I had to learn that, too. I thought that I could trust them. But, just let an argument
come. Yeah, you start to open up.
Whoa, right. Oh, you didn't go there. Oh, you hit me in the belly. Yeah. Oh.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah, see, he left you. See, yeah, that's why, yeah. Don't do that. Keep it to yourself. Okay. Moving right along.
Did you have a gaslighting episode that you wanted to
share? I was just trying to think of which story I could use, but maybe I'll come back to it. Which experience?
Once the target or the victim, because trust me, if you've been in a relationship similar to this, you were a target. You were not the person of their dreams. You were their target to do what they wanted to do and then move on. So once the target begins to question the whole relationship, like, I'm always unhappy, I'm always crying, and he doesn't care about my feelings at all. Okay. So when you make the step to say, No, I don't accept that. No, I think something is going on. And I'm kind of thinking maybe we need to back off, because once you say that, it's the silence. Which by this stage is very sexy, but you're kind of all off of this person. You have taken more of them than normal, because these types of people usually find people who are very pleasing, who are cooperative, so to speak, so that they know that they can get away from my stuff with this person. So you're that type of person. You've been cooperative and just reached your boiling point where you say no more. So you're trying to see things from a different perspective. You've been gaslit, and you're trying to salvage whatever you can of the relationship that you put so much into, put a lot of it. So you really, that silent treatment is kind of throwing you for a loop. It can consist of them walking away from you in the middle of a conversation. Not answering phone calls. Not responding when asked questions. What time did you come in last night? What time did you? And you hear a door slam. Looking at the victim as if they're not friends, just like they're looking at you, as if they're not there. Or when you're talking, they're talking over you, as if you're not even. Or watching TV, or playing games for hours, nothing, listening to you, nothing whatsoever. And finally, this is really good. No physical contact in the bedroom. And they get in the bed and they'll inch all the way up. I try to get as far away from this puzzle when they know you're not. Or then they just get up, get the pillow. Yeah, and this is the silence. And this really causes a lot of pain to the victim, who many times gives in, because it's so unbearable, this treatment. If you are in a relationship, whether it's romantic, platonic, or professional, it doesn't have to be a romantic. What either of these tactics are being used, awareness is, because once you are aware, you become more empowered to make the best decisions for you. Not for them. Sometimes we can try so hard to please someone at the expense of ourselves, pain to ourselves. You can resist or avoid relationships. You better know what to do, because people really don't talk about gaslighting, but it is a form of abuse. Abuse is abuse, whether it's physical, society, I mean, gaslighting has been around since that movie. And probably before, it's just the movie called Gaslighting, where this guy actually told this woman, crazy, you must be driven crazy. In a relationship, it's a relationship. If something doesn't feel right, it's probably not right.
That's right. If it doesn't fit, if it doesn't fit, you must quit. Yes. Mm-mm. Listen.
Walk away.
You have to follow your intentions. Trust your gut. Follow your intentions. And as we always speak of here, if you know, if you're feeling deep inside that something is not right, and if this person makes you cry more than they make you smile, if this person is taking you away from your friends and family, not good. And if you're not around that person's friends and family, or they don't have any friends and family, wait a minute now.
If their mother is living and you've been dating for like a couple of months or so, but he's never gone to visit her, you don't know what she looks like, you're in the same city, check it out. What's the thing with you and your mother? A narcissist, this type of person who use these types of attacks, so happens to be in a relationship with some of these tactics, then look up the other tactics that narcissist.
Feather light. Pull your microphone a little closer to your mic or something. You're sounding a little distant or something, and it's like, honey, you sound you're in Malaysia. Oh my God. Listen at this. You know what? I'm gonna get you.
What?
You've been sounding like you're in Malaysia.
Well, why are you just
the whole time?
Oh.
Well, I sent you a message.
Oh, well, you
didn't
know,
want
I was
to interrupt.
Okay. Well, you know, I am not used to this new equipment.
Blah, 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 blah.
Wine.
I pulled out my little violin for all of that. We all been sitting here straining like, man, I sure wish I heard what she said. Sound like it's pretty good.
No. Oh no.
We heard bits and pieces.
Oh my.
I mean, we got the gist. We got the gist of it all. Okay. Maybe we'll revisit this.
Well, it's very important. That's why I wanted to share it. Okay. Trust your gut.
Trust your gut.
What about what?
Let me see. I was gonna just thinking about maybe a part that people didn't hear. The silent treatment. Please. I'm not playing games with anybody. Communication rules the nation.
Yeah. My mother used the silent treatment on me. And like I said, it doesn't have to be a romantic relationship for these tactics to be used. And it's not like you can say, oh, I don't care, she's never going to leave. That's my mom.
Yeah.
You know, so it can be effective. It can be effective. It's a tactic. When someone just kind of just like cuts off communication because you are trying to tell them that they did something that was not appropriate, that you felt was wrong, or that actually hurt your feelings.
Mercy. giving you the salad.
Now, I can't see you accepting the salad treatment. You get the salad treatment. But some people are going through a silent treatment. Like, you have the audacity to question me.
And so I guess they can give you the silent treatment for like, what, a few hours or maybe a whole day or something.
Oh, it's more than a whole day or a few hours.
A couple of days. The time just varies.
Oh, yeah, it depends on what they're trying to accomplish. My mother gave me
I guess I was thinking more so, or referring more so to people that may live in the same house. But yes, if you don't live with them, and yeah, you have no, there's no obligatory call. So yeah, you can definitely give them silent treatment.
So you're not a narcissist, so you can't really fathom, probably, not speaking to someone for probably weeks at a time when you live with them. But a narcissist can. They can do it because their main goal is to break that person.
Yeah. If somebody tried to give me the silent treatment, I'd probably throw an apple at them and I'd say, look, we talking. Let's iron this out. Let's sit down. I'm not going through this silly mess. So we have to work it out. And then we'll come to a conclusion after that. But no, the silent treatment. I don't know. I guess it just depends.
The silent treatment would not work on you. It has to work on certain types of people. It wouldn't work on you.
It wouldn't work on me. I talk too much sometimes.
It wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. And it would not be used on you.
That's probably the deal. A person wouldn't even use it on me. They wouldn't use the silent treatment on me.
It doesn't necessarily have to be with speaking. Like I said, withholding sex. When a person enjoys sex and then you're going to withhold it, that's a part of silent treatment too. Not just being silent.
Silent treatment. Well, all right. Well, that was our piece on the three signs of a toxic and dangerous relationship: love bombing, gaslighting, and the silent treatment. So, thank you for pulling all of that together, Featherlight.
You're quite welcome.
Before we go to break, I want to share this quick news piece, and then we can pick back up on this and more after the break. Did you hear about this Louisville officer? His name is, I believe it's Todd Shaw. He sent highly disturbing, racist, and threatening Facebook messages to a recruit, according to a letter Jefferson County Attorney Michael Connell sent to Prospect Mayor John Evans. Shaw, who had previously worked 20 years as a Louisville officer, was suspended then fired last year from the Prospect Force. So they were discussing, Shaw and this recruit were discussing a training scenario in which the recruit was to write a paper on the right thing to do if he caught three juveniles smoking marijuana. Shaw stated, "F the right thing. If black, shoot them." Instructing the recruit how to handle parents of a juvenile caught smoking pot, he wrote, "If mom is hot, then F her. If dad is hot, then handcuff him and make him suck my, you know what. Unless daddy is black, then shoot him." Now, this is what he wrote. These were his instructions.
Now, he's a sheriff?
This man had been on the force. Yes, he was a sheriff. Let me see. This is a place called Prospect, Kentucky. prospect. Yeah, he was assistant. Okay, he's a former prospect, assistant police chief. Assistant police chief. With that type of mentality. Been on the force 20 years. Just think how many people he shot or raped. Because what he's saying is, if the mom is hot, then F her. So that means rape her.
Yeah.
And then you're raping the dad, too. Because you're making him perform oral sex. Well, I just don't understand how some of these people still walking around breathing. I'm not promoting violence or anything, but you know, I just don't understand, you know, how come they haven't just like fallen out from all the evil? That's just evil. So evil. And this is what we're dealing with, these type of slave catchers running around. That's all they do is just don't get me started. Let's take a break. Yes,
all
right. Running rampant. Let's take a break, and we'll be right back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. If you would like to share your thoughts or commentary on anything that we've discussed, or anything you would like to discuss, give us a call.
Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent Black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
Right, so we're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show, and you can follow us at on the Twitters at MB Spirit Radio, and also follow us on BTR. Join the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show group page, and you can follow us there. And we often share information about the shows, maybe a question for discussion, something that we discussed on air. So you can follow us there as well with your subscription to BTR, the Social Media Expedience. I like to share this.
Excuse me. I've placed some recipes.
Oh, recipes.
On the, yes, Mind, Body, and Spirit page, group page.
Okay.
So, check it out.
Sign up
if you're not already a member. And if you are, check it out.
You know what? I need to update the health page, group page also. I have to update that with some recipes as well. And speaking of recipe, you have one for your Reiki. If I could just share this quote, and then we can go into your piece on the Reiki 101.
Oh, okay. All right. Don't forget I want to do a review on this film.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So this will be brief. Wise words being quoted. You're always one decision away from a totally different life. just one decision away. But you got to take that step. You take that step, you make that decision. Whatever that decision is, it could totally change your life. Have a different life. All right.
Okay. So I wanted to share, first of all, I saw this film. And from time to time, we do film reviews here on Mind, Body, and Spirit because it's really, it's sort of like, what do you call it, edutainment? And it makes you kind of look at things differently in another perspective. So I like futuristic films. I started watching futuristic films when I was very young, and as I grew older, I saw those things actually happen. So I'm really a fan of futuristic films. So this is a futuristic film. And the title of it is Man on Fire. Man of Fire. Okay, so let me set the stage.
But the series is Black Mirror, right?
Yeah, the series is Black Mirror. So those of you who watch Black Mirror on Netflix, this is one of them. And if you've seen it, great.
And we have to talk about Monique and Netflix. We have to get to that when you finish with this review since we're speaking on Netflix.
Okay, all right. So, a military rookie, this is the thing, a military rookie who's about to go on his first hunt for this elusive enemy, okay? He's called a rookie because this is his first time. The movie opens up with this guy. He's in the military barracks. He's sleeping. He's dreaming. He's dreaming of this beautiful woman smiling at him. Maybe it's what, is his wife, is, you know, who knows. But dreaming is important. So they're suiting up. Somebody woke them up real quick. They're suiting up. They're getting ready to go out on a mission. So they put up the full military gear and all that whole nine yards. The focus is on two of his comrades, who are two white females. One is a lieutenant, and the other one is a trigger-happy seasoned soldier. Okay, she expresses how excited she is about the possibility of another kill. She just can't wait. It's been about 5 months, and ooh, she's itching to kill. So the rookie is kidded about not being too afraid when he comes across these creatures that they're about to go and hunt. Okay, so they tell him that they're really scary to look at, but, you know, just don't get all shaky in the boots and just shoot them. So the funny thing is they're all suited up and they're jumping into the van, but they're not out in the field. They're in the community. Right, so these are evidently I can say futuristic. They're all in the community with the civilians, and so they got a call that some roaches have been spotted, and they got to go up to where the roaches have been spotted and shoot to kill. So the civilians, what they call them civvies, they're the ones who called in the report. And they told the military people that they saw the roaches and that they were stealing food and that they tried to break into this freezer and they broke it and blah, blah, blah. And so the civilians were told to destroy everything that the roaches touched, you know, contaminate it and can no longer be used and blah, 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 burn everything. So the roaches are strange-looking creatures with a human form. This is what you see. But they look like aliens. They got like white plastic things flailing behind them as they run, you know. And they have these white faces. They look alienish, big black eyes, you know. And so everybody is excited that they get the chance to kill them. So as they ascend upon the enemy, the main character. He shoots one, this one in the back, and he gets into this scuffle with another one, and there's a vice involved, and so he kills the enemy, the roach, and something falls on the floor. It's a metal object, and when he picks it up, it makes this loud, shrill noise, okay, and it's so loud that it's almost deafening, and it hurts his ears. So after the struggle, the trigger-happy female, she threatens to shoot the civvy she threatens to shoot the guy, the civilian that was hiding the roaches, giving them safe, you know, because some people did feel like, you know, they deserve to live. So she threatens to shoot the civilian, but she's just so amped up. She wants to shoot somebody, so the black guy says, "Hey, you know, we're not supposed to shoot civvies. You know, don't get too trigger happy. That would be wrong. They're people. So let me break this down. Dreaming is important. Okay, the trigger happy person is important because she wants to kill somebody. The roaches are actually people." They look just like the civilians, but the military personnel have been programmed to have this little chip to the perception that these humans are not really humans. In fact, when they look at them, they see the white creatures with the white funny shaped head, the big black eyes, and they look horrible. And they screech when you come across them. They like that. And so what? But the metal thing, it was designed by one of the enemy to deprogram them. So the soldier sees them, starts to see them as humans, and he doesn't realize that he is becoming deprogrammed, and he tries to help one of them. And so the woman says, "You see me as I am?" And he's like, "What do you talk about?" She says, "You don't see Roach?" And he was like, you're a civilian. She says, "No, I'm what they call a roach." And it is the most interesting film, because she tells him that, he says, "Well, what do the civilians see? Since I've been programmed, what do the other civilians see?" And she says, "They see what I am, a human. But they have been programmed by the media to think of us as creatures who do not deserve to live, think of us as creatures who must be eliminated, and that our blood is poison, and that when we mate, we will make others like us, and we must be eliminated." And so the soldier says, "No," because this is like really strange to him, and he says, but roaches can't speak. I can, you know, you're talking to me." And she says, "You have been programmed not to hear us. We can speak just like you." And the civilians have been convinced of the fact that these certain humans, and by the way, the ones who were roaming, there were no blacks, but that's part of the show. All of them were white. And they were children. And when he goes to the doctor to tell him about the incident, he says, "I was fighting with him," and then he grabbed the knife and he said, "He?" Because they're not supposed to be male or female or children or adults. Just like we look at roaches. We don't say, "Oh, that's the boy roach." Or, "Oh, that's a child roach. I won't kill the child roach."
"Well, that's a pregnant roach. I won't kill the pregnant roach." You're like, "Oh, let me get you. Oh, I mean, damn, if you bring your children in here."
Yes, yes. So that, I found that movie so interesting, because these were people and they were being treated as if they had no souls, like they had no reason to live here on this earth. And it was shoot to kill. They don't have to do anything. Just shoot to kill. Now, doesn't that make you think?
Well, it's very akin to the life we experience as black people, still running from slave catchers. Speaking of which, I won't go into that. I'll have to watch that episode. And what's the name of that episode? And what season is that?
Men of Fire. Men of Fire.
Men of Fire? Okay. Black Mirror.
Right.
Okay. Okay. Well, maybe if Netflix refuses to pay Monique $500,000 Well, not the 500,000. They offered her the 500,000. Maybe if they don't want to pay her the millions that she's worth, maybe they can at least throw a couple of hundred thousand this way for us talking about this Black Mirror show on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I think that may be one of those Netflix originals still evoking their name. But I will watch that, because I must say, I've watched like one of those episodes. I did watch one of them. I didn't want to add anything else because I really have been. I love that one, Superstition, with Mario Van Peebles, his show. He's executive producer, co-creator, and he has his daughter in this show, and the other Black guy, and the sister that I like. She was in my favorite movie, Have Plenty. Robin Lee, I like her too. I've always liked her. And see, you don't see her and the other brother in a lot of these so-called other mainstream films. So I appreciate a brother like Marvin Van Peebles that's been reared in film continues to give these awesome thespians work. So. All right, for the light, I'm going to check that out. Black Mirror, Men of Fire. What season did you say again?
I believe it's season 3. I don't know. I'm not keeping up with her. I just kind of like, what is this about?
Okay. Well, yeah, it's very similar to what many people experience in this life. I'll check that one out. And that White Bear one seems kind of off the chain, too. Goodness gracious.
Very much.
I think that's Well, look, speaking of Netflix, so the controversy with Monique and the whole Netflix deal. So, Monique, let me just get back to this. Monique, and I love some Monique. I mean, I've been watching Monique since the Parkers, when she was Miss Parker. She was Miss Parker. I think she was Miss Parker because that was the name of the show, The Parkers.
Okay.
I believe her name was Miss Parker.
Yeah, okay.
Mm-hmm. And she was always after the professor. And right. I even remember when there was a lot of talk about when Black women started saying, well, we're tired of seeing Monique chasing the professor. Right. Like, a Black woman just got to chase after a man. I remember, old school, baby, old school. So, anyway, so Monique, legendary comedian and Academy Award winner, is calling out Netflix for allegedly offering her $500,000 for a stand-up comedy special while offering millions to Amy Schumer. I actually had to Google Amy Schumer because I couldn't even put a face to the name at all, not even like kind of think like, oh, maybe it's that lady. No, didn't know her. But I heard she's kind of funny. And Netflix offered millions to Amy Schumer, Dave Chappelle, and Chris Rock. In a tweet, Monique called for a boycott of Netflix on the grounds of color and gender bias. And so in the video, Monique explains that her team brought up Amy Schumer's $11 million offer and asked, why was there such a disparity between Schumer's offer and Monique's? Netflix allegedly responded they don't look at resumes, but use Schumer's sold-out Madison Square Garden arena and a big movie blockbuster over the summer as justification for her offer. So Monique said that according to the comedian, Chappelle and Rock were offered $20 million and Schumer received $13 million. So Schumer actually negotiated an extra $2 million because she was offered like $11 million. And as one thing, that's one thing I learned from white women. Baby, they feel entitled. I tell you, black women, in order to get some of your little power back, in order to get some of our power back, if you don't already have some white friends, get you some white friends. Get some white friends, just like white people get some black friends. Get you some white friends. find you some white friends and just watch and learn how they feel that they are entitled, and they know that they are entitled.
They know they're
entitled. I love it, baby. I love it. I watch and learn, because I learn to feel entitled, as it should be. Thank you very much. Right, as it should be. And so, so Amy Schumer, I got to give it to the sister and her team, because Netflix offered her 11. She said, hell, like Master P said, if I'm worth 11, well, if you want to pay me 11, I know I'm worth more than that. So her team right. went back and negotiated more. Business 101, okay? So now there's a lot of controversy around this. First of all, I'm down with Monique. I love Monique. And there have been some people that have, you know, said you shouldn't. I think it was Tony Rock that said in response to Monique's boycott of Netflix, you shouldn't count other people's money. It's kind of inappropriate. And I get where Monique is coming from, because Monique, I listened to an interview when she spoke about this whole Netflix deal and the boycott, and she said she had to ask for more than $500,000. And I get that. You feel entitled. I get that. Ask for what you feel you deserve. So she said that she couldn't accept that because of her resume. If Netflix is going based on a resume and anticipation of what a project may bring, then why not look at her resume as her being an Academy Award winner? Then Netflix responded, well, you know. So there was some back and forth with the numbers and figures and all. And then from my understanding, Netflix just declined to offer her the comedy special, period. I'm not going to say what I think Monique should have done and all of this and that. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But at the same time, I get what Monique is saying. But at the same time, you got to think about it. And I was kind of listening to what some people are saying. This is their arena. This is somebody else's arena. And you come in to play ball. And some people have spoken about like how Monique made the comments about Tyler Perry and Oprah and Lee Daniels, and that she's been quote unquote whiteballed. So maybe her value has been decreased in a sense. And so maybe that's why Netflix was willing to offer her the low ball figure of the $500,000. I don't know, but business is business. Your thoughts, Featherlight?
I think that has something to do with it, too. Who knows what's going around in Hollywood about certain people. And they have their own little world where if this is put out on this person, they probably felt like they were doing her a favor, even offering to let her do a show. They probably offered that little bit of amount of money. They probably felt like, you know, hey, here, you talked about it around in Hollywood. We'll give you this.
You have a reputation of being difficult. Nevertheless.
Not this, right? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, I was just going to add to that, just to dovetail what you're sharing, Featherlight. I did hear someone speak about how, and I've heard a couple of people say this, actually. It may have been best for Monique's team to go ahead on and accept the $500,000, maybe more than that, you know, try to kick it up to at least $750,000, and then negotiate something on the back end of the contract. So if you reach this, Netflix, then I get this off of those, you know, the points or whatever. They work that out.
So I would have also added, you know, just like, what do you call, like, with insurance, your riders and all that. I would think to add something onto that. Because, I mean, yes, Monique, you're worth more than $500,000. You're worth $20 million, just like anybody else. You've been around. Yes, 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 yes. And if she comes this way, I'm going to see her to support her. But I think I would have taken that $500,000 and tried to negotiate something, something on the back end that I could still receive some dividends somehow, some way. What do you think, Feather?
Well, if she had done that, she would have, let's look at, if she had done that, then she would have to had the show. It would have been great because she is extremely talented. Then, like you said, because you took the business courses, that's one of your degrees, so that makes sense to try to get something out of it, you know? Try to get something out of it. But where it stands now, this is another lump that's placed on her plate.
And in order for you to ever have a special on Netflix and maybe one day have that $20 million, now Netflix may just kind of say, I don't know, remember that boycott you called for us? And in all honesty, right, and in all honesty, man, I'm sorry, people not getting ready to boycott Netflix, Monique. We just not, you know, we can't do that. Well, now, we were talking about this, Feather, like, now what we can do, Monique, is we can support you in a campaign for Netflix to go ahead on and offer you a fair amount. Now that we can do, like, we can tweet to Netflix, you know, whatever, you know, Monique, 10 million, whatever, hashtag Monique 10 million, 10 million, whatever, whatever you're trying to work with, Monique, we can support that. But on the real, people not getting ready to just too quick just shut Netflix down. May not watch it, but I doubt if people cancel their accounts. Because right now, people have, these millennials, people not trying to pay all of that money for cable anymore. Because we have these cell phone bills and all of this, you know, food so expensive. So people, a lot of people don't have cable. I mean, I practically convinced my father to eliminate his cable. And Lord knows I've been working on him for about 3 years. Probably two, because I don't think I've had cable for about four years. Maybe three. Something like that. But anyway, yeah, so I have my Netflix, my Hulu, and YouTube, and everything else. And like I tell people, my dad, he'll say, well, what do you do if you want to watch something on TV? And I tell him, I just switch it over to regular TV with the antenna. And so the other day he told me, you know what I'm thinking about doing? I said, what? I'm thinking about getting one of those antennas that you put on top of the roof, on the rooftop, and run my TV cable, run my TV through there. I said, yeah, you might as well. And I said, wait a minute now. You getting ready to just go arcade, just way back 71 on us now. I mean, he putting the antenna on top of the house. I said, well, you know, I'm sure we get it. Right. Because he said he don't want his football game to start buffering while he's trying to watch it and all of that. So, but anyway, back to Monique and Netflix boycott. Monique is worth more than $500,000, of course, but I would love to hear people's thoughts on that. And maybe we can put that on the MBS group page just to have some discussion. I don't know. Maybe people don't care. Do people even care? I don't know. Was that like a small story, or, I mean, I wonder if people even are aware, or do they even care? It was just like, oh, Monique, whatever, you know, kind of tired. I don't know. I love Monique. I love her. I'm always going to support Monique. I remember on Def Comedy Jam. Speaking of Def Comedy Jam, check out that Def Comedy Jam 25th anniversary show. Oh, my God. Dave Chappelle and D.L. Hughley. Oh, my God. They tear it up. Oh, they had me in stitches. They had me in stitches. All right, so where are we, Featherlight? What's going on? It's almost 10:30. It's almost time for
break. Your honor. Who are you honoring tonight?
Yes, so when we come back from this break, then we will honor
Bobby Wright.
Bobby, you right. So we'll take a break. And also, I'll condense, because I know I did talk a lot tonight. I'll condense a little on Bobby Wright, because I do want to come back and maybe have a part two on him and just really focus on the mental side. What he's known for. Do you still want to show your recce, Featherlight?
We can see how much time we have. Because recce can be more than one night as well.
Okay.
But don't cut. Fantastic.
Okay. Fantastic. You're tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. And we will be right back after this break with the African Spirit. You could have kept that music going, Scotty. I know how to talk over the music. I'm a DJ. Yeah. DJ.
Talk Media Project launched the digital radio platform Black Talk Radio Network, the first such platform created to serve the Black community specifically. Black Talk Radio Network has grown with a variety of radio hosts, digital radio stations, and podcasters. Web analytics say Black Talk Radio, the platform, has an online reach that ranks it among the top independent Black media platforms in the world. All of this is possible because of financial contributions to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you love the work we do and the voices and perspectives we bring to you every day, make a donation today to ensure that Black Talk Radio is here in the future. Black Talk Radio is new Black media for the new millennium.
African Spirit. Ooh. When I hear that music, I just say, I start doing that African dance. Tonight we are honoring Dr. Bobby E. Wright. Bobby Eugene Wright, born March 1, 1934, in Hobson City, Alabama. He transitioned April 6th, 1982 in Chicago. Here's a trivia. Who else passed on April 6th? Who can guess? Featherlight, you want to take a guess?
Martin Luther King.
April 4th. That's April 4th. I'll give you a hint. He's one of my... Nope. You're close. You're close. I'll just say it. Marvin Gaye. I think it was April 6th. No, I'm totally wrong. I think his birthday is April 6th. His father killed him April 1st because we thought it was an April Fool's joke. Yeah, that's how it happened. I think, Marvin Gaye's birthday is April 6th. And I try to remember little things like that. Well, not little things, but I think birthdays are special. Anyway, so Bobby E. Wright was an American clinical psychologist, scholar, educator, political activist, and humanitarian. He received his B.S. in education and M.S. in counseling from Chicago State and his Ph.D. in clinical psychology from the University of Chicago in 1972. I was 1 year of age. 1972. At the point of his untimely death, he was president-elect of the Association of Black Psychologists. You know, we always have brothers like this that have some untimely death. All of a sudden sick with some kind of cancer and they die or get shot. During the mid-1960s, he worked as a truant officer in the Chicago public school system and led a successful challenge to racist hiring procedures for Black teachers. His political work has been credited with helping lay foundations that later enabled the election of Chicago's first African-American mayor, Harold Washington, in 1983. Now, two of his scholarly works have been described as highly influential by the 2013 National Conference on African Black Psychology, The Psychopathic Racial Personality, which was published in 1974 and republished in 1984 and other years as one in a series of essays, and Menticide. We'll unpack both of these at a later date. And, Menticide, The Ultimate Threat to Black Survival. He has been classified in the radical school of Black psychology of the time, those who developed a self-consciously independent framework in opposition to the dominant worldview stemming from Europeans, many of whom were influenced by Frantz Fanon. By contrast with traditionalists, who worked with the American Psychology Society of the time and critiqued but not correct, or reformists who were partially independent and appealed for change to both white and Black cultures. Overall, his work emphasized the need to recognize psychological racial warfare. Let me say that again. Overall, his work emphasized the need to recognize psychological racial warfare and for Africans to define themselves in their terms while analyzing the psychology of white supremacy, which we said we would not use that word here, that term, not only of its victims, and to develop a durable social theory and associated institutions to change the politics of mental health. And I'll just close by just reading this is it's a kind of lengthy quote by Dr. Bobby E. Wright. But it reads, in a bullfight, there comes a time when after being brutalized while making innumerable charges at the movement of a cape, the bull finally turns and faces his adversary with the only movement being his heavily bloodied sides. It is believed that for the first time he really sees the matador, and this final confrontation is known as the moment of truth. For the bull, this moment comes too late. The experience of Black people all over the world presents an analogous situation. For hundreds of years, they have been charging at the banners that are held by the European white matadors. Those banners have been represented by concepts such as democracy, capitalism, Marxism, religion, and education. And they remain constant as long as Blacks were assets. Dr. Bobby E. Wright. We honor him tonight. So thank you for all of your wisdom that you share, brother. You can catch some of those sessions and lectures of Dr. Bobby E. Wright on the YouTubes. Just Google and you'll be able to watch his lectures on menticide. He said the fight is for the African mind. Dr. Bobby Wright.
Whoa.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The fight is for the African mind. It is.
It sure is.
Mm-hmm. You have a person's mind enslaved, and you have them.
You have. It's just like we were
mentioning. Exactly. That's what I was about to say. Gaslighting. All right. Go ahead, Fred. Light us all you.
All right. Let me give you a quick recipe. This is a recipe for skincare. Not that you eat it, but actually, these are two things that you can consume. Things that you put on your skin, keep in mind that 60% of it goes inside your skin anyway. 1 teaspoon of baking soda, 2 teaspoons of coconut oil will make a wonderful paste for a facial mask that will exfoliate your skin, give you a deep cleansing, and leave your skin glowing. Put it on, leave it on for about 20 minutes. Just kind of rub it in a little bit gently, and you will be amazed. Okay, let's talk about, I will put this on my, on our Mind, Body, and Spirit group page.
For the light.
Yes.
For the light. Before you go into that, I did want to just put this out just in case anyone would like to share any commentary or maybe have a discussion in the Mind, Body, and Spirit page, the group page, because I will post a video. I think that's probably what I should do, post that video. Some people may have seen the video, but I would like to just introduce a conversation around the silent killers.
You mentioned,
just if I could just touch on that. Silent weapons, I'm sorry, pardon me. Silent weapons. So I came across this video, and I think the website is called, let me see, the website is called Stop the Crime. One second, let me see here. It's called,
hello, this is Deborah.
Okay, Flu, Biological Warfare Attack. And what is this page called? On YouTube. What is this? Stop the Crime Net. Stop the Crime Net. Okay, I did subscribe to them. So I came across this video, and the woman, she's given this report about this terrible strain of flu that many of us suffered from over the past few weeks or months. I know I was down like for about a month from this crazy flu bug, and it was very similar to the same flu bug of last year, the H1. It was what, H1, I believe it was H1N2, and then this year was H1N3. So all these biological warfare attacks, which I'm pretty familiar with, but she mentioned something that really startled me. In this video, she speaks about silent weapons. And she speaks about Operation White Coat. And I vaguely remember hearing about Operation White Coat. Some people may have heard about Operation White Coat, whereas the Vietnam defectors, conscientious defectors, were a part of an experiment called White... Operation White Coat. And so in this experiment, there was this technology developed whereas germs could be dispersed right above your head in an airborne manner. And so sometimes we're feeling sluggish, stagnant, maybe depressed, sleepy.
Not ourselves.
You feel like something's not right, but you can't articulate it. But you know that it's just something not right in your life or something that's going on. And it's all because these people have figured out some kind of way to sprinkle some crazy fairy dust over our heads to screw up our lives. And then you walk around wondering why you're depressed or why this or that or why you feel like you can't get out of bed. Because I suffer from chronic fatigue. That's why I was so flabbergasted and just like, oh my gosh, just amazed at what she spoke about, because I said, I feel that way. I feel that way. I feel stagnant sometimes. Like I just can't get it moving in certain areas. Mm-hmm. And also the fatigue. So I'm going to look more into this, but if anyone out there has heard of this, or you know, you have some more information about Operation White Coat, or this little fairy dust they're sprinkling over us, email us at mindbodyandspiritradioshow@gmail.com. Or again, you can always follow us on the Twitters or on the BTR page. But I just want to have a discussion about that. I thought that was just quite intriguing and very scary.
Very, very
disturbing. Wow. It was more than intriguing, disturbing.
Yeah. It's a little bit deeper.
Mm-hmm.
More than intriguing.
Yeah, disturbing.
The dovetail on that, right quick. Natural News, this guy, he has a website called Natural News. It's, man, I can't think of his name because I wasn't planning on talking about him. But he's a white guy. He's a scientist. Has his own company, and he's very well respected. A lot of the government uses his.
That's his, okay. We have our dog in the studio tonight, so he wants to say hello, everybody. We're gonna start a dog. Well, we do have a doggy Pinterest page. Just need to push the Pinterest now. Okay. Anyway.
Okay. So.
Pardon me for the interruption.
He has a video on YouTube, and in line with what you just said, he said that that scientists have developed a way to put certain chemicals in foods that will only affect certain ethnicities, ethnic groups. And basically, his film is just kind of blowing the cover, saying black people, they're trying to kill you. So that it was like a secret, silent kind of thing, like what you were just talking about. Whereas it is hurting you silently, and you have no idea, and you're just kind of walking around, and you're feeling funny and weird and off balance and off key. But it's a slow, silent kind of attack. Interesting.
Well, I did read that the flu vaccine contains Nagalase, N-A-G-A-L-A-S-E, and that's a cancer-causing enzyme that interferes it interferes with, like, your, let me see, what is this, globulin component.
Hmm.
So it affects your immune system. So if your immune system is already down, then again, yes, why would you give me something that's going to affect my negatively affect my immune system? Then they sit here and talk about everybody have HIV and the flu and all of this other stuff. You keep injecting people with all of this cancer, and they keep injecting people with all of this nonsense so they can keep us sick and run up medical bills, and nobody has health insurance.
Right.
What the hell? And you think people from Norway want to come over here for what?
Ooh.
For what? And work? And no vacation? That. No family leave? Jesus, please. Nobody trying to kick down doors to come over here like they say. Anyway, I don't know what for. They may have been before 10 years ago, but I don't think in the past 10 years anybody been trying to kick down any doors to come over here. For what? I'm trying to kick down
maybe
the door.
Maybe make some money right quick and go back.
And go back. They send it all back to their families, and then they go back.
Right.
Mm-hmm. From whence they come.
All right. So let's talk about Reiki 101. So, what is Reiki? What does the name mean? Who can practice it? Reiki deals with the life force that governs everything in the universe.
In Japanese, it's called qi. In Chinese, it's called qi. You know, I say qi a lot. In certain Asian cultures, it's called prana, you know, pranayama, you know, it's breathing, your breath. In Sanskrit, breath is the same thing as spirit. So that's why prana is used. The rest of the world refers to it as the Holy Spirit. Rei means universal, omnipresent, like present everywhere. And qi means non-physical, vitality, that gives life to all living things. So two syllables, this is a very powerful meaning. So qi is energy, so we'll just use the word of qi, meaning energy. And it can be activated for the purpose of healing. Your energy can be used to heal you. Many cultures understand this, the importance of qi, of energy, and how it affects our total being. Western, we kind of like, no, go get a shot, take some pills. But many other cultures really, really do believe and foster energy healing. When we feel healthy and full of enthusiasm, the energy flow in the body is high and it's unencumbered. And we have more resistance to disease. When our energy flow is stagnant or blocked, we're more susceptible to diseases. And we feel off, depressed, anxious. As we were speaking earlier about silent weapons, there are weapons that can start to mess with your energy. And so the energy is extremely important. Mm-hmm. We all have the natural ability to heal ourselves. But humanity has become fragmented and hollow. We need to go back, and sometimes we need to go back just to go forward. Isn't it Sankofa? So several disciplines have been developed. Several disciplines have been developed to harness and control and greatly enhance the flow of this energy in and around our body. And just name a few. And the reason for this is to have us live a happier and more fulfilling life. It's an alternative healing method. You have Tai Chi, you have Qigong, you have yoga, acupuncture, even meditation is a form of using energy for healing. Anyway, K and feast Feng Shui.
There's some noise. There's some feather. There's some added noise. I'm hearing a little rattling or something. Put your newspapers right there.
All right. I'm going to change. Okay. All right.
Why don't you be still?
Reiki energy is inside of all of us. The Kirlian photography allows us to see this energy. And here on Mind, Body, and Spirit, we did a demonstration a couple of months ago of how energy feels. And on our closing, which we do, you also feel the energy. If you move slow enough, you'll feel it in your hands. So Reiki is a healing that is done through the hands. It's a life-giving energy. It's a gift. It's a birthright. It's your birthright. Everyone has access to it. We all use Reiki daily. When a child falls and hurts their knee, they instinctively put their hands on the injured spot, and the pain gradually goes away. When the parent kisses a hurt for a child and places her hand on top of the child's hand, the parent and the child are working unconsciously, sending, channeling, receiving, and drawing energy like this. They're not aware of it, but instinctively they do it. The parent is sending and channeling, and the child is receiving and drawing.
this wonderful energy is free. There are no copyrights required. We'll talk more about it, but I just wanted to share with the audience some of the basics about Reiki and why it would be good to know something about it. Now that's my little once on Reiki.
Yes, I wouldn't mind having a certification in Reiki.
Well, I'm going to get one.
You should. It's an excellent healing modality.
And it's really not about, some people think, well, you know, you put your hands over somebody and then you send them this energy, but you're not sending. You're channeling. They are the word. Yeah, you're channeling. It's a difference. But that is true. I mean, you know, you put your hand, your stomach hurts, you're like, oh. But there's healing. There's healing in the hands.
Healing in the hands.
We have so many chemicals in our bodies, and things that we, you know, packaged foods, prepackaged foods, things that are put in the meat. So it's blocking. See, that's another solid story. It's blocking the flow of our energy so that we can feel more happy, fulfilling life. The energy is often a lot of but we are coming around, and that's what my mind spirit is about awareness and enlightenment. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. I love it. Are we ready to breathe?
Yes, we are ready to breathe. So,
I don't know, something's going on with the movement in your mic feather lighting. We really don't need all of that when it's breathing time. Pranayama and all. You want to be able to hear the breathing instructions, because all of this malaise and can't hear you stuff and mic, whatever, it's just not happening in terms of the sound quality.
Breathe. Just take a deep breath, Miss Black Rose, and breathe. Inhale, four, exhale. Inhale, four, exhale, six. Inhale. Once more, inhale, exhale. Raise your shoulders up to your ears. Let them gently drop down. Shake your shoulders a little bit. Release any tension you may have. Softly close your eyes. Relax your throat, your face muscles. Relax your tailbone. Put a slight bend in your wrist. Stretch your fingers. Allow the energy to flow through. Your feet are about shoulder width apart. Let some space underneath your armpits for energy to flow there. And just take some good deep breaths from your lower abdomen, your center. And fill your abdomen rise as you inhale, and your abdomen goes in towards your spine as you exhale. We're going to practice a little centering and grounding qi yang. You're going to stand with your feet a little while wider than shoulders apart. And we're going to move our bodies together.
Okay. So bend your knees. Open your arms wide as you bend your knees. And then as you rise up, scoop. Scoop up as if you're scooping up leaves from the ground. Then bring your arms back to your lower abdomen. Then take your arms to the side. We're not going to worry about concentrating on breathing right now. Take your arms out to the side, palms down. Both of your arms are straight, perfect balance. Then reverse your palms up. Place them over your head, form a triangle with your hands, and then bring your hands down to your lower abdomen. Okay, this time we're going to do it by breath. Feet a little wider than shoulder width apart. Hands just below the navel. Palms up. Longest fingertips touching as if you're holding something. Inhale, filling your arms with energy. Exhale, bend down. Stretch your arms out wide to the earth. Inhale, scoop up the energy from the earth as if you're scooping up leaves from the ground. Bring your arms back to the lower abdomen. Exhale, take your arms out to the side. Palms down, arms straight, perfect balance. Reverse your palms, palms up, inhale, raise your arms over your head, form a triangle with your hands, exhale, bring the chi down to your lower abdomen. One more time. Stand with feet shoulder width apart. Inhale. We're just going to inhale. Take your arms out to the side. Take them up over your head. So form a triangle. Bring it down to your abdomen. Breathe in. Breathe out. One last time. In. Out. Put your hand in the mudra prayer symbol and say namaste with a smile. Thank you once again for participating in our pranayama and our qigong tonight. Speak your truth. Have a good week. See you next week. Same time, same place, same station. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Feather Light, for that pranayama. Peace and good night, everybody, and have a wonderful and prosperous week. Thank you.